And when you let it go, you see that God is still able. I need just only persons that need that faith for that next thing that God gave me. Hit right here. Come on here right now. Real quick. Don't wait on anybody. I need you to move out here right now. Shh. Oh, my, my. Fill it in real tight.
Hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let's thank God for the Pleasant Hill choirs, our young people, and our adults. How they have blessed the Lord and blessed us today with these songs of praise. Amen. We thank God for all that he is and for all that he has done. Amen. Amen. Sister Davis, if you'll bring me that certificate at this time. We have been blessed to be the father, most often in ministry, when we say we are our father in the ministry, we talk about sons. But we're blessed, amen, to have a daughter in the ministry. And I'm just so thankful to God that he has moved upon her heart and called her, amen, into the gospel ministry. I have always loved Sister Cornelia's spirit, amen. She has, as long as I've known her, she has had that the spirit of Christ in her, amen, and the spirit of humility. So a lot of times we think in that in ministry you've got to be braggadocious and bold and all of that, and now a whole lot of folk in ministry like that, but the folk that God can use best are those who know something about humility. And I thank God that she already had that spirit in her, amen. And Cornelia, before I present to you this certificate of license, I just want to charge you to continue to manifest the spirit of Christ in your walk, in your talk, in your life, as you interact with people, and God will bless you. Something that I had to hear when I first came into the preaching ministry, my pastor told me that I don't ever have to beg anybody to preach. The God who called you to preach will give to you the opportunities when he gets ready for you to preach. And then I had to learn, I learned this under Bishop Morton when I served under him, that instead of looking and politicking for places to preach, God really puts you in somewhat of a holding pattern because he wants you to learn how to be a servant first. I said he wants you to learn how to be a servant first. And I had to learn, amen, under Reverend Harrison and under Bishop Morton, amen, that it was not belittling to me to serve them, amen, whether it was carrying their bags or pouring their water. Let me tell you something. Anytime you're too big to pour water for somebody, you're too big. Because the Bible says, amen, that if you give a prophet a drink of water, you will receive a prophet's reward. Now understand, Pleasant Hill, I don't think I've ever said this before. I can pour my own water. However, I have a nervous condition that makes it very difficult. And some of you can remember a few times I tried pouring it myself and broke up everything up here. Amen. So when you see these ministers pouring water for me, it's not because I'm trying to be boss hog. Amen. It's because I need help. And just as I said that if you're too big to help, if you're too big to admit that you need help, you're too big. Amen. And what better place than in the house of God, in the church of God, should we manifest the blessing of being a servant? Oh, my. Oh, come on. How many of you know there's a blessing in serving? And I will say that it doesn't come easy. It has to be in your heart. It has to be in your spirit, you know, because one thing you know when folk ain't real about it. You feel it, you know, like they don't want to be doing anything. Amen. And just like God doesn't want to receive those kind of gifts, amen, we don't either. Come on, ladies. You, those of you with husbands, you know that if he gives you some flowers, you want to, more than the flowers, you want to know that there's real love behind the flowers. Am I right about it? Amen. So be sincere. Be a student of the word. You're already doing that. Amen. Be at Bible study. And here's another thing. Since I am your father in the ministry, I had to learn this myself. There will be pastors who will try to reel you in. And what they'll do is they'll call you and say, can you come preach for me or speak for me? Amen. The decent and orderly way to do it is you should tell them you need to call my pastor. You know, if you want me to speak for you, call my pastor. And that's decent and in order. When y'all send me off to these conventions and what have you, I'm not going there just to have a good time. I'm learning some stuff. There are classes like pastoral etiquette and ministerial ethics. I had to tell a pastor just the other day that it is improper for a pastor to come to an event of another church without you as a pastor talking to the pastor of that church. That's out of order. I mean, your intentions may be good, but it would be a shame for me to show up at Sunday school at New Willow with a member of New Willow, and then the pastor has to come out and see me out there. That's out of order. Amen. And I told the pastor that just yet, and he received it in the spirit of Christ. He just didn't know, you know. But thank God, y'all send me on to some places where I can learn better, where I don't embarrass y'all or myself. Amen. So, Cornelia, if you will come at this time, it is my happy pleasure and privilege to give to you this certificate of license, because you have given evidence that God has called you into the gospel ministry. And you're being licensed to preach the gospel as you may have opportunity and to exercise your gifts in the work of ministry on this 20th day of fourth day of October, amen, 2015, by yours truly, Pastor Joseph Garner and the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Y'all come on, let's show us some love. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with us to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to read through verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. There you will find these words. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Verse 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And for just a few moments this morning, I ask that you would think with me in terms of a subject: faith in the face of frustration. Faith in the face of frustration. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
God is good. And all the time. He is so good. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 tells us that Daniel was part of the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah had been reformed under the leadership of a good king named Josiah. But only 4 years after King Josiah's death, the people of Judah had returned to their evil ways. Now King Jehoiakim was ruling, and the Bible says that the Lord let. Let me hear you say, the Lord let.
The Lord let.
The Lord let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall under Nebuchadnezzar's power, as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. After a victory, the Babylonians usually took the most valuable people back to Babylon, and they would leave the poor behind to take whatever land they wanted and live peaceably there. To demonstrate his dominance, when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, he took many of Jerusalem's wisest men and most beautiful women to Babylon as captives. Daniel was among this group. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says that then the king commanded his palace master Ashpenaz to bring some of the Israelites of the royal family and of the nobility, young men, watch this, without physical defect and handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom and endowed with knowledge and insight, and competent to serve in the king's palace. They were to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. There are, my brothers and sisters, four main Hebrew characters that are highlighted in this story. The Bible points them out because they were the ones who would prove to be faithful in a foreign land. Now, remember that a whole nation of people were taken captive, but four young men stood out among the rest because of their faithfulness. They were Daniel, whose Hebrew name was Belteshazzar, meaning God is my judge. There was Shadrach, whose Hebrew name was Hananiah, which means mercy of God. There was Meshach, whose Hebrew name was Mishael, meaning who is like God. And then there was Abednego, the one we like to say a bad Negro, but it's Abednego, whose Hebrew name was Azariah, which means who God helps. The Bible says that they were the best and the brightest of Judah. Amen. I need to make a few things clear. First of all, the Lord allowed his people to be taken captive. The Babylonians had no more power over Judah than God allowed them to have. And you need to be encouraged today to understand that, yes, the devil attacks us, but we need to always keep in mind that the devil has no more power over us than God allows him to have. As a matter of fact, my brothers and sisters, before the devil can do anything in the life of the believer, it has to first of all pass God's inspection station. And do you know what God's inspection station stamps when he allows the devil to do something in your life? Do you know what the stamp reads that God puts on the permission slip for the devil? Amen. The stamp says that he will not put more on you than you can bear. And I wonder if there's anybody in here that can thank God that even through trials and troubles and tribulations, you realize that I'm going to always come through because God will not put more on me than I can bear. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to capture Jerusalem because Judah refused to remain faithful to him. Time and time again, you Bible readers know that they turned their backs on God and they had gone, as the Bible says, whoring after idols. They continued to break God's first commandment, which is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. You need to know God is a jealous God. And sometimes we miss it because we think that gods have to be statues or something. But amen, you can make money a god. You can make your car a god. You can make, amen, someone in a relationship a god. But if you understand that God is a jealous God, you realize that you should not put anything before him. And it was for this reason that God let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall under the power of the Babylonians. Do you ever wonder, like me, my brothers and sisters, how our nation has gotten into the terrible moral fix that it is in today? How is it that we don't resemble one nation under God with liberty and justice for all? Amen. Don't make me call up Ferguson and Baltimore and New York and all of the stuff that's happening all across this nation and land. When you watch the news, it makes us wonder how it is that we even label ourselves one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. How is it that we don't resemble a nation whose motto is "In God We Trust"? Sin has overtaken our communities, our homes, and watch this, even our churches. I went off up in here Wednesday night. See, you folk that don't come to Bible study, you miss a whole lot of good stuff. Amen, because I come in here real transparent on Wednesday nights. I'm kind of formal up in here on Sunday, but Wednesday night I had to get real raw because there are some things that have crept into the church of the Most High God that ought not be in the church of the Most High God. And I may as well go on and say it again. If you're coming here, amen, as a single woman to steal a man from somebody that's married, then you're in the wrong place. If you, my brother, as a single brother, are up in here trying to hook up with a woman that you know is married, you're in the wrong place. And let me clear it up, because it ain't just single folk. Sin has overtaken our communities, our homes, and even many of our churches. Crime is running rampant. Drugs are consuming people and destroying homes. Teenage girls dress and talk like common streetwalkers. Y'all, we don't look like a nation under God. Young boys, many of them have no respect for girls and women, which is obvious by the music they listening to. Government officials have no respect for laws that they help write. Men and women have no respect for the Lord's Day. Y'all, we used to have respect for the Lord's Day. We used to even have a respect. Now, don't get me wrong, this ain't nothing but a building, but we at least respected the fact that this was a place where people come
to worship God. Any of y'all remember the time when, you know, you cruising down 171 listening to Tupac or DMX? I don't know the new folk. Amen. But when you got up to the church house, you understood, I got to turn this off. I'm not driving up here. But now folk will sit in the sanctuary, in the house of the living God, and listen to all kinds of foolishness. I often wonder if God even owns us as a nation anymore. I hate to say that, y'all. I often wonder if maybe God has allowed outside forces to come in and have their way with this nation, just like God allowed the Babylonians to capture Judah. Tell your neighbor, the Lord let. Yeah. That's the first thing I need you to understand, that the Lord let. The Lord allowed them to be taken captive. And that ought to be a wake-up call to somebody. Because sometimes we think that because I saved now, amen, that exempts me from a whole lot of trouble. But you see, some trouble that comes up in our lives is God allowed, because we won't get in line with his will and his word and his way. And that's from the pulpit to the pew. I'm not preaching something to you that ain't coming back to me. Do I have a witness today? So the first thing we need to understand is that the Lord let, the Lord allowed them to be taken captive. But secondly, this story shows us that the devil always wants God's best. Notice that King Nebuchadnezzar, the supreme leader of Babylon, wanted only the brightest from Judah to serve in his palace. Daniel 1:4, and I hope our young people will hear me. Daniel 1:4 says they were young men without physical defect and handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom, endowed with knowledge and insight, and competent to serve in the king's palace. They were to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Isn't that just like the devil? He always wants the brightest and the best minds that God has. I know I'm talking even to some parents today who are still scratching their head trying to figure out how your son got caught up, how your daughter got caught up. You know you brought them to Sunday school. You know you brought them, amen, to choir rehearsal. You know you brought them to drill team and all of that. But you missed this one thing. You were training them up, but the devil was watching them. Sometimes, y'all, the devil recognizes the brightest and best before we do. I said he recognizes it before we do. Amen. Why do you say that, Pastor? I say it because a lot of times we, instead of us encouraging folk who are doing good, instead of us encouraging people who are giving their all to the service of God, amen, we get out and backbite them, scandalize their name. Amen. When we ought to be encouraging our young people, because guess what? They will either sing for God here, or the devil is waiting on the outside. Sometimes he's right on the inside with an application form for them to sing for him. That's right. How many of you would rather see our children serve God? Yeah. I'd rather see them serving God. Amen. But Satan, he's always recognizing the brightest and the best. Wasn't it Satan who cried out in that demoniac spirit, "Don't torment me, you, amen, you son of David"? Wasn't it Satan who followed Jesus to the wilderness and tried to entice him to come over to his side? Y'all remember what he said? He said, "If you're the son of God, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of this world." Y'all, Satan knew exactly who Jesus was. And guess what? If he will roll up on Jesus like that, he will roll up on you like that. He'll roll up on your son and your daughter like that. As surely as he knows you got it going on, when he knows you're bag of chips, and you got the chips and the t-shirt and all of that, amen, when you know you got it going on and God has blessed you and God has graced you with talent, amen, you need to understand the devil is watching you, and he ain't just started watching you. Tell your neighbor, he's been watching you. Can I tell you something? He's been watching you so long that he know what you like. He's not going to entice you or tempt you with something that you ain't interested in. He's been watching you long enough to know what pushes your button. Oh, Satan recognizes God's best, and Satan wants God's best. As a matter of fact, he wants you. Young people, where are my young people? Raise your hand. He wants you while you're young and vibrant. Some of y'all raising y'all hand. The devil already got you because you're up in here lying. Amen. He wants you while you're young and vibrant. See, he no longer wants you after he sifted you like wheat. Don't fool yourself. He doesn't want you after you done drunk and drug yourself into a stupor. Satan doesn't want you after you landed yourself in a situation where God can no longer use you. Satan wants good minds that he can use to increase his army. Look at the common street drug dealer. He or she is working under a drug lord who has a multi-tiered operation that really could equal some Fortune 500 companies. Them young folk out there, those are not ignorant children. Amen. They are children with an intelligent, calculating mind. The only problem is that that person is being used by the devil and not by God. Satan wants our best doctors and lawyers. He wants the best teachers and students. He wants our best engineers and scientists. He wants our best accountants and mechanics. He wants our best pastors and bishops. Satan always wants the best. That's why so many young professionals are sitting at home right now, watching television, reading the newspaper. Amen. Talking about, well, it's my only day off. That's why so many people who have good minds wouldn't think of serving in the church, singing in the choir. I ain't going to be no usher. I'm too good for that. They've been overtaken by the devil, and Satan has a plan for them which they are not even aware of. He's setting them up for use in his kingdom. Y'all, you got to understand that Satan has power, but watch this. He does not have the power to create anything. He cannot create anything. That's one of God's awesome powers. He has creative powers. Ooh, my, I could just talk about that for a minute. You see, the fact that God has creative power says that if you're lacking something in your life, amen, that's why God is able to say, call those things that are not as though they are. Because even if it ain't there, even if it don't exist and his child needs it, God can get his creative power to working and he'll give you something you never had. Come on, thank God for creative power. But the devil doesn't have creative power. So he has to sit back and look at God's creation and figure out how he can deceive God's creation to work for him. Is there anybody in here today who has made up their mind, I ain't going to let the devil use me. I'm not going to let him ride me, because the devil even shows up in church. And y'all know how he gets up in here? I guess y'all know. My brothers and sisters, I don't have much voice this morning, but I want to encourage us as God's people to be faithful even in the face of frustration, even in the face of fear, even in the face of potentially failing. I want us to learn how to be faithful. Don't get deceived like Simon in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Don't let the devil deceive you into working for him. Can I tell you how the devil will deceive us? He will deceive us by getting us, instead of worshiping him, he'll get us to worshiping money, worshiping fame, worshiping popularity, worshiping education, worshiping our careers. But when we do that, we run the risk of God leading the enemy to come into our camp and wreak havoc. Tell your neighbor, there's some good news. That's what I love about the Bible. There's always, amen, good news in the Word of God. Amen. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego demonstrate for us that when the enemy comes marching into your camp, you don't have to put on his uniform. And you don't have to join his army. Daniel was a young man, but Daniel was a faithful young man. Daniel was a young man, but Daniel had a strong faith in the God of Israel. Daniel was a young man, but Daniel had a strong determination that he would live and die for God. Daniel was taken away from his homeland, but his faith was not taken away from him. He made up his mind to serve the Lord. He'd made a vow to the Lord, and he wouldn't turn back. So my brothers and sisters, when the enemy marched into the camp of Daniel, Daniel did not put on